Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
We've seen so many people step up over the last few months, or maybe even year and a half, for two reasons. The elections and the way it turned out, the things that are going on in America with the Democrats in charge, and of course, we are post-COVID. One of the common factors we see pretty much in every community in the United States is local people that have dedicated their life to something else saying, it's time for me to do something for the public good. Whether it was the former Applebee's CEO running for mayor of Overland Park, or a stay-at-home mom running for her local school board. Politicians are jumping in. Dr. Oz is leaving Hollywood and running for Senate in Pennsylvania. We have all these different people who've never thought about being political, never really been a servant to the people or somebody who works for the state. They never wanted to be part of the political machine, didn't want to be part of the deep state. But they've seen what's happened in this country, and they've pivoted and made a move and said, you know what? I feel a calling. I should go do this. If I can make a difference, I want to. We see it everywhere. One such person lives right here in Kansas City. Her name, and I met her a couple of weeks ago at the Jackson County Republican dinner, is Rachel Aguirre. She is running for Missouri State Senate in the 8th District. That's interesting enough, but know this. Rachel's a dedicated lifetime special education teacher in the Lee Summit School District. She's the only teacher that has gone to the superintendent and said, I will not, under any circumstance, teach critical race theory. She supports moms that are new school board members. She's running for office on a platform of children and parental rights. Who does that? She's proud of Grain Valley Schools because they removed their LGBTQ safe stickers and flags in their school, and she would like to see that done in Lee Summit. Quite frankly, Rachel believes schools are splitting children apart into groups to hate each other. She says that's not the job of education. That's not the job of teachers. And in this interview, you're going to learn that Rachel believes 90% of the teachers in the Lee Summit School District don't want any part of any of this. They want to teach the material in a safe, warm, inviting environment for all the kids, regardless of gender, skin color, religion, personalities. They don't care. Teachers want to teach, says Rachel. They don't want to split you off into a black student union. They don't want to split you off into the LGBT group. They don't want to split you off into the conservative group, which as soon as it formed in Lee Summit, at Lee Summit West, under the heading of Turning Point USA, all hell broke loose in Lee Summit. Because now there's a group of conservatives, and that's trouble. And maybe that's our pushback. Maybe the pushback really is if we just organize as conservatives and say, okay, we want the same treatment as Black Lives Matter or the Pride Parade or whatever, conservatives are going to gather and we're going to be in your face. Maybe if we do that, a truce is called and everybody says, you know what? This is silly. Let's stop labeling people and let's all just get out of this business. That may not be realistic in society, but it seems like it should be a pretty good thing within schools. You're going to love our discussion today with Rachel Aguirre. She is fascinating. It's brought to you by Cross Kitchens KC, online at crosskitchenskc.com. Tim Cross and his family can do a complete remodel of your home. They can do bathrooms. They can do any rooms, if you'd like. But they really specialize in kitchens because they understand that's the heart and soul of your home. That's where people live. That is the most important room in your house. Your kitchen, your entertainment area, the place that, if it's just like me and Jessica, we spend a lot of time there, but it is the coolest place in our house. And we love it. Cross Kitchens KC can do that for you. They got a great small business with skilled craftsmen. They'll give you a 3D rendering of exactly what this will be. They'll give you complete pricing. And when they go do the job, they'll do it almost always, unless it's a massive job. They'll do a kitchen remodel in 2 weeks or less. Gotta love that about crosskitchenskc.com. Really happy to be associated with these folks. They're really, really nice. Tim is a good man, and just give him a call. You'll speak right to the owner, not somebody. You're going to go right to the owner. Call Tim and his wife, Brittany. They run the business themselves, 816-898-7047, online at crosskitchenskc.com. Amazing Garage Floors, online at amazinggaragefloors.net. John Hutchins is a great American patriot, served in the Air Force, and he would love to do a garage floor for you or seal your driveway with Seal XP. Your concrete loves this. Think of this as like Ponds or Oil of Olay or whatever that stuff Jennifer Aniston pitches for your skin. Oh, it's a really funny commercial. Have you seen the commercial that says, whatever the product is, and then their tagline is for people with skin? I love that. I love that. Hey, Amazing Garage Floors is for people with concrete. Perfect. New slogan, Hutch. You're all in. AmazingGarageFloors.net for people with concrete. Back 9 Development for people that want to live in a home. He'll build you a house. TJ's the best. You want to check out his portfolio? Check out his website. They do it all. They can build you a farmhouse out in the country. They can build a house in your subdivision. If you want to buy a lot somewhere in a new subdivision, they'll work with any developers and builders. Back9development.com. Online at back9development.com. And the Bluemont Hotel and Goolsby's Restaurant in Manhattan. I talked to my buddy Cato yesterday, and I said, Cato, when was the last time you stayed the night in Manhattan on business? He says, you know, I stay there a night or two a year is all, because a lot of times I'm that close to home and I'll come home. But sometimes it's the first stop of the day and it's like a 4 o'clock appointment, and maybe he's in Salina or Wichita the next day and he just stays in Manhattan. I said, you got to stay at the Bluemont Hotel. That's really easy. It's a great, unique hotel experience. Locally owned and operated. It's not sterile. Some impersonal franchise. They've got live music every week. The Goolsby's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center is right there next door. It's all part of one complex between the corner of campus and the corner of Aggieville. Can't find a better location. 30 beers on tap. You pour your own. They have duck pin bowling, golf simulators, all kinds of fun entertainment, really comfortable rooms. They even have beautiful suites if you'd like to do that. Or maybe you want to take a golf weekend or do a golf tour of Kansas, play Colbert Hills, go down to Flint Hills National or something, or around the state of Kansas. You want to do that and stay in Manhattan this summer? Bluemont Hotel, man. It's the place to stay. Right in historic Aggieville and the corner of campus. It's Bluemont Hotel and Goolsby's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center. Appreciate having them on board, and we appreciate having Rachel Aguirre here. She is running, yes, for Missouri State Senate. That is not the crux of the interview here. She is running because she's decided she's no longer just going to teach and teach only. What she sees happening in Lee's Summit cannot stand, and she wants to make a difference. You're going to love this conversation with Rachel Aguirre on KKHI. Hit it!
The KK Has Issues conversation is presented by Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, or online at joslynsjewelry.com.
Rachel joins us now, and she is something else. Under the heading of Real People Doing Real Things, she is running for the Missouri State Senate position in the 8th District of Missouri. That's Eastern Jackson County. She's a teacher in Lee Summit. My goodness, there is so much going on in Lee Summit right now. It seems perfect to talk about that from somebody that's basically on the ground. I mean, you could be like my reporter on the scene. Rachel, welcome to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. How are you today?
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you for having me.
I'm great. Before we get into the headlines and everything that's been going on at Lee Summit West and the Turning Point USA group with the students, let's do just a little more background on you. You've been a teacher for a while, and you're not trouble, but you're the teacher that is unafraid, I will say, to state what you believe is important and go directly to the district or your superintendent. You're sort of in a unique position that way. There are not a lot of people in Lee Summit like you. Give me a little background as to what it is that you have done over the last few months as you've seen some of these things happen in Lee Summit schools that we've seen happening around the country.
Well, Kevin, I appreciate your time. What I, as a teacher and as a parent in the district, I have seen things that have troubled me as a parent and found that it was important for me to ask questions. And so I went to the school district about 4 years ago. I was concerned about some posters that were being placed in the different classrooms. And even in the offices of the administration buildings. And I was concerned in regards to the nonverbal intimidation I felt that schools were taking aside for specific specific groups of kids. So I just, you know, expressed my opinion there and just asked them what was going on. And then as a teacher, I have also seen things going on. And in the last few years, especially with COVID happening and kids having to, or all of our students having to work online, our eyes have really been opened up like so many other parents throughout the country and seeing what is being taught to our children. And so it's really become one of those things where all parents, I believe, have decided they needed to get more information about what is going on in their child's education. And with the whole COVID issue, we also found that our kids were not getting the services they need, especially special education. I'm a special education teacher, so I understand that the importance of making sure that our special education students are getting the necessary services they need, but also what we were seeing in regards to our general education students. And I know everyone was trying to figure out things, so it would be easy just to blame the teachers and to blame the school district in that aspect. I know that a lot of good teachers were trying to do their best. But what we did find was there's that small group of people in our education system that was pushing an agenda that most parents do not agree with. It was a matter of teaching morality in a education setting where it does not belong, but it actually belongs in the families, in the home, not in the schoolhouse.
Okay, so let me just start with something we talked about before we started the interview here. And for my audience, I think this is important because I don't think I'm alone here. Some of these things never happened when I was in public schools, and they didn't happen when my kids were in public schools. My daughter graduated from Olathe Northwest 9 years ago. How fast did all this happen? Because what we're talking about is safe spaces for certain people, LGBT groups or something like that. We've now seen the uproar over the conservative group at Lee Summit West that wants to get together, and they're doing it under a heading or name of Turning Point USA, and the people on the left are outraged, but there's a black student union within this school. This is all new to me. You're telling me that you can have, based on your gender, your sexual identity, your sexual preference, the color of your skin, whatever, you can have your own group in the school, and that's essentially sanctioned, okay? It's allowed to have happen regardless, and then all of a sudden conservatives come along, and that creates a problem, and there's a threat that maybe they won't be able to do that. Is that ultimately what's going on?
That would be correct. And it's not that the schools is rejecting them having a group. The problem is that parents and some educators and some administrators do not want these conservative groups in the schools. And so what's happening is that parents are teaching their kids to become aggressive and to bully and to protest in school over conservative groups. And in some cases, like we saw the other day, even become aggressive in the fact of a student flipping a table over, also a bottle being thrown at one of the speakers who is leading this group, the Turning Point USA group. And so we're just seeing that our society is really being reflected in the schools right now in the way we treat people that we disagree with. But I will tell you this, that what our readers need, what your listeners need to know is that 60 years ago, this all started. And if you look back in at the congressional reading of the 45 Rules of Communism, what you will find is that what we are finding, what we're seeing and witnessing today, that's part of those 45 Rules of Communism, where they are causing a division, where they're pushing pornography to be acceptable and natural, where they are teaching kids to go against their parents, where it talks about students becoming un-American and hating our country. So what we're seeing today is basically a reflection of those 45 rules of communism that were written over 60 years ago.
Well, it's so disturbing because, you know, I think for everyone listening, there would be parents that don't want their kids to go to school and be taught that maybe you're not a boy or you're not a girl. It's okay to change your mind or to think you're something else, and to teach it to someone when maybe they've never thought of it before. So this is complicated to me. We decided a long time ago in this country to say there is no religion in public schools. That's separation of church and state. I support that. I stand by that. But if I believe in separation of church and state, I must believe in separation of politics and state. And you can't have this in a public school. This is one political party taking over our public institutions, and that simply can't stand. There's no way we can allow this to happen. It sounds to me like that's ultimately what you're fighting for here is, would you rather everything be completely inclusive and have all these groups, Rachel, or would you rather just have all these groups out of school and say, this is not the domain here, this is not the place to have all this political demonstration?
I personally would prefer that. You know, the education system is an education system. Our job is to, when our students come in, that we are giving them the quality education they deserve. The state just allocated $10 billion towards education. Our kids deserve a $10 billion education. And an education does not include someone's personal morality. Instead, we should go back to the fact that we're teaching character traits such as respecting other people that we don't agree with, being kind to people. And that is not what we see in our schools these days. We are seeing basically the riots, a smaller version of those riots that we saw in those summers a few years ago. So yes, we need to get back to educating. Our kids are behind. Teachers are leaving in droves. Parents are mad, and we're having to fight for a parent's bill of rights just to be able to see what our kids are teaching or learning. There's no reason for that. Parents should know exactly what their kids are learning. Teachers should be able to walk into a classroom and know that they get to teach the subject that they have been given, that they have gone to school to teach. Students need to come into a classroom and know that they are going to learn that day, that they are not going to be intimidated by flags or posters or anything of that nature. And when I say this, I'm a conservative, but I would also not even agree if someone had a Christian flag in the room. We are there to teach taxpayers' children and give them an education so that when they walk out of our high schools and our schools, they are well prepared for the world. That is our job. Our job is also to walk beside our parents, to give them our expertise in the best way we can to help their child be successful academically. It is not our job to take over their place as parents. It's not our job to raise their children. And so I will tell you that even though I am big on parents' rights, I'm also big on parents' responsibilities. And that would be so much better. It would be so much better if we had our parents, a lot of these parents doing their jobs so that teachers aren't feeling like they have to take over that role. And that unfortunately has been part of the problem. So this problem needs to be put on the responsibility of both parents who have not taken care of their kids and made sure that they are responsible, and for schools who try to take over the role of being a parent.
Okay, so this is what we know about kids. They're not overly political or involved in this stuff. They have to be taught it, and then maybe they get to a point where they're teenagers or something and they're really involved in something, whether it's their identity, their sexual preference, their skin color, or whatever. This is learned behavior a lot of times at home, but it's also now learned and taught behavior in the schools. Let's just, you know, because I hear from all kinds of listeners to this podcast that say, you know, don't use my name if you read my email because I have a workplace and I don't, you know, they're still just a little frightened that, you know, I'm conservative. I don't be labeled as that. It's not a place where I should be known for that. Things like that. How uncomfortable is it for most kids or kids that are from conservative families? Because I'll assume that, let's just say half the kids are from conservative families, just to throw out a number. I'm going to assume that maybe only 10 or 20% of those are really interested, involved, or know about that. Are those the ones that are uncomfortable, or are kids that are just raised in conservative households, maybe they don't even pay attention to this stuff or care, do they come to school and get uncomfortable with all these different groups?
I think it's a combination of things. First of all, we have to remember that right now, the push for the pornography and the sexual identity is being pushed at a very young age, all the way to kindergarten, by saying, hey, what, you know, teachers are forcing kids to say, what is your pronoun? Well, most kids don't even know what a pronoun is. But the reality is that when a child is a child, not adults, and that's the problem. We are dealing with children. So children at about the preteen, they start questioning things. They start, you know, their hormones are changing. And those are the kids that are being targeted in regards to their sexual orientation, and really pushing that questioning whether they are you really a boy? Are you sure you're this is your sexual preference or this preference, or are you sure? And so that's the big push in that area. I think most kids, regardless if they are conservative or they come from a more liberal family, I think they just want to come to school and learn. Kids want to come to high school. They want, you know, we grew up where high school was a great experience. You got involved in groups. You did all these things. You graduated, you have prom, sports, all those things. Kids can't even do that anymore without it being politicized. Everything, every aspect of our education system has become politicized.
You've been around this a long time. How quickly did this happen?
It's been going on, but I would say that with what's been going on in the last 3 to 5 years, the 10 years, it's really been pushed. I think parents are now aware of it.
This is a Trump effect from the left. They hated Trump once he got elected. Then what? We're not going to take it anymore. They mobilized everywhere and said, we're going to take over everything we possibly can. I personally believe that we became a polarized nation when Barack Obama was elected in 2008. I think he split people apart in many ways, in many things that he did, and got a lot of people to pay attention and say, well, I don't believe in that. And then it ramped up. Once Trump was in, boy, the left went crazy, and now we see what's going on. Your 3 to 5 years sounds about right to me. This does not sound like anything that were my kids' experience, and it has not been that long ago since they were in high school. And I don't remember any of this. And I was at a lot of activities, knew a lot of parents. We talked about a lot of different things. This is relatively new. This sounds like this was the left mobilizing and fighting back once Trump became president. Does that make sense?
It would, but the reality is that it's come to the forefront, right. I think. And that's the fact, again, that parents are seeing it. But again, you go back to the 60 years ago, when you're looking at those 45 rules of communism. I mean, you would have thought somebody just wrote them a few years ago. And then you throw in the NEA, who is the biggest union for educators, and they've always been politicized. So they're pushing their own political agenda, which is totally far to the left. And so their concern is not educating our children. Their concern is really pushing the political agenda of the leftist liberal agenda. And so what we're seeing now, I believe, is that we are seeing awakening of the giants of parents going, hold on here, what's going on? We need to stop what's going on. But the problem is that this monster has already been building and eating and feeding itself all this information and all this money, all of our tax dollars, so that they can be able to have this kind of not encouragement, but just have this much emphasis or.
Right. Yeah. And so many people are stepping up now. What we had the action. Now I think we see the reaction. You're part of the reaction. You're running for office. You've been involved in this because you're a teacher and you've been there, but you have friends that have run for school board. You have a couple that you're close with and worked with that have won in Lee's Summit. You're working on the school board. And I don't know what the end game is here. It seems to me like fewer of all these different groups and labeling children at age 13 or whatever, as you're in this group, you're in that group, you're in this group. That seems like that's the last thing we should be doing with kids. Is there a way to get that out of schools?
Well, and that's why I'm running. That's one of the reasons why I'm trying to get go to Jefferson City. I don't have all the answers, but what I do know is I have common sense, and I know that the majority of parents, whether they want to call themselves Democrat or Republican, there are a lot, most parents have common sense. And so we have a minority, group of people who are trying to push a specific agenda. But the majority of parents just want their kids to be educated so that they can be productive citizens. And that is one of the reasons why I am running for state Senate. We have a Republican House, we had a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican governor. Yet we couldn't even get a parent's bill of rights passed before the session ended. This is the problem here. We've got people who are not willing to sacrifice or willing to put their necks out for our children. See, the reality is that in society, if you want to change a society, you go at the children. So what happens in the schoolhouse creates the path for how our society is going to go. And right now, what you see on the news, what you see going on in our schools, that is a major indicator of where we're going to be in the next 10 years.
You said before we got started, and I thought this was spot on and profound, you said, shame on us adults. And you said it several times. And you mean everybody. We have split these kids apart, haven't we? Can you explain what you mean by shame on us adults?
Shame on the adults. Shame on parents who have taught their kids to hate someone because of the skin of the color of their skin or because of their sexual orientation. Shame on the teachers who are teaching a one-sided agenda, or they are questioning kids, or they are stepping over their bounds, and they are telling kids not to tell their parents things. And I will guarantee you, There are school districts who specifically are making, and teachers who are telling their kids, their students, do not tell your parents this. Shame on the administrators of the school and the districts who are letting this happen, because they know what's going on. Shame on them, and shame on the church for the people who are not stepping up to defend our children. Our children are our future. And so shame on us that we are teaching them hate. We are teaching them divisiveness. We are doing everything to destroy our future generations, all because we have our own agendas. So yes, shame on us.
Wow, that is just beautifully and brilliantly said. I agree with everything that you said right there. Is it more difficult for you to teach in Lee Summit now than it was before? You've been so outspoken. You've gone to the superintendent. Everybody knows who you are, what you are about. Is it uncomfortable for you?
It has been to a certain degree, but Kevin, I will tell you, when it is time to stand up for the truth, and when it is time to stand up for our children, we must do it at all costs. You know, I hear teachers all the time going, well, they're my kids. I love them. Well, then you know what? Part of loving your students is standing up for what is right for them, even if it seems hard. And unfortunately, we have so many teachers who are just scared to lose their jobs. I know teachers who are being targeted, and it's ridiculous. Because you know who's losing on this? Our children. And right now, parents just want to know what's going on. And we as educators, that is our job, to make sure our parents are getting their kids are getting the education that we have been hired for. And I understand that there's frustrations between teachers. But you know, we walk into that school building, we are a teacher. We are to educate to the best of our ability those students to be able to become productive citizens. And you know what? I forgot to say this one thing. Shame on the parents who've done nothing, who sat by and have allowed this to happen, because we are all responsible for what is going on right now. And we have to decide right now how we are going to change this, how we are going to teach our kids. You know what? I know that you don't agree with that person or they're acting that way towards you, but you know what? I'm going to, you take the higher road. You are going to respect them. And I think, you know, even teachers are having to do that. We're having to take the higher road when we are being attacked in different ways.
The parents are changing. So, that's changing in the last year and a half. The parents are getting more active. So you're right. They've blown it. Shame on them for allowing that to happen. But I'll be honest. I can't sit here and point fingers at everybody else and say, I would have been a parent that allowed it to happen. I would have never seen this coming or stopped it. But if my kids were in school right now, I'd be involved in all of this. I would be the worst nightmare of the board. I would be speaking. I'd be giving all kinds of presentations. I would be doing everything I possibly could to make it better. So I think that's happening. And I think you're seeing that, right? I mean, you've got friends that are that way. You have co-educators that are doing this. Aren't parents more involved now? And sometimes something has to happen before they react, but at least they're reacting.
I agree. And you know what? I have worked with a lot of these women and these mothers and these, even the fathers, parents, we are standing up saying no more of this. And they have done their due diligence to make sure that they collect the right information. I have gone before the state legislature with a notebook of examples of assignments and surveys and the books that are being pushed on our kids, to say this is what's truly happening. Because you know, when you're in Jefferson City, you're kind of out of touch of what's going on locally. And that's why these moms have done a phenomenal job, not only with getting the information out, but helping get us these conservative, fair, not just, they're conservative, they're fair school board members elected. And also in our city, because you know, in order to have a productive and be successful in our legislature, we need to be able to have the right people at the school board level and at the state level, so we can all build a foundation that is positive and works for all students, not just our kids, but every student, because every student is our future.
I think the audience is going to like this question, because, and this is really oversimplifying things, but you're such a good guest. And you're so articulate, I think you're going to be able to answer this. And if you need a moment to think about it, think about it.
Okay.
Let's say there were 100 teachers and administrators in the Lee Summit School District. And we obviously know that it's way more than that. But we're looking for a percentage here. What percentage of the people employed in the district do you believe are conservative? What percentage are liberal? And what percentage really don't care, they just want to teach or do their job?
I would say probably 90% of the teachers just want to do their job. And I don't think whether they're liberal or conservative, I don't think that matters to them. They just want to do their job. Again, it's a small minority, like it is in all the other school districts, where there's that small minority of parents and teachers and administrators who just want to push this leftist agenda. And again, I would not be okay if the right was pushing just their agenda also. We're not there for politics. We're there to educate our children. But common sense, most teachers, most parents, they just want what's best for all the children. They want their children to graduate with the appropriate education, to be able to get into college if they want to get the jobs that they want into, and to become productive citizens. That's what we as parents want to do. And when I say shame on the teachers and the parents, I say it to myself too. So we all have to take responsibility for what has gone on.
Okay, so here's the follow-up. Of that 90% that just want to teach, you know, we always ask in these polls, we say, is the country going in the right direction or the wrong direction? Let's take that 90% that isn't really political. They just want to teach. They want to teach the kids. They're in it for the children, and they're educators, and they're dedicated to their profession. Of those people, whatever number of all 100% of the 90%, how many of them would say that the school district in regards to this stuff is going in the right direction, and how many would say wrong direction?
I would say the majority is saying it's going into the wrong direction. I've talked to teachers and administrators who were like, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous what is going on in our district. And again, it's not just our district. It is districts all across the state and country.
Because they don't want to teach it. They don't want to teach CRT. They don't want to, they didn't become an educator and a teacher to go teach, you know, fourth graders about, you know, gender preference or something like that. Most teachers just don't want any part of this, do they?
I don't think most of them do, but I will tell you that teachers are being forced to do this. They are being targeted when they say, I'm not going to do this. And again, they are being forced to have to admit that they are privileged because of their skin color or their oppressors. And you know what? Again, let's just get qualified teachers into our schools, regardless of their race or their sex, whether they're male or female. Let's get them into our schools and educate our children, because the goal is no longer about educating our children. The goal right now for these people on the left specifically are to create activists. If you want to be an activist, you need to quit your job as a teacher and go work for a not-for-profit.
Yeah, I hear you completely. Okay, so this is really remarkable. You're so into this now that you want to go to Jeff City and represent the people in the 8th District of Eastern Jackson County on basically a platform, if I have this right, that you want to basically run on a platform that is children and parental rights and medical decisions. So some of this came out of COVID, you know, control over your own medical decisions. You're a big staunch supporter of the Second Amendment. I don't know if you're a hunter or not, but I've seen pictures on your website. You got the gun there and everything else. So you must be a little outdoorsy and all those cool things. Tell me why you're running for Missouri State Senate. There are two others running. We don't need to discuss them now. The primary's coming up later this summer. Why is it you're running? Is this mostly for parents and children that you're doing this?
Well, Kevin, the thing is that if we don't take care of our children and we don't lead them the right direction, then what society are we going to have? Again, if we want to change a society, they go after the children. I mean, we saw it with communism. We saw it in Germany. We saw it, you know, when the Nazis. So we just want to teach our kids to be responsible. We want our kids to love their country, to love their freedom of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's what we want for our children. That's what I want. I have stood by other parents again. I have seen the heartache that they have. I see their kids coming home, calling them now bigots and racists and all these things. And I see that our legislatures are not doing. We have Republicans in Jefferson City who are not doing their job. And the reality is that I have always been someone who has grown up. My parents have taught me you stand for the right thing. You stand for truth, even if you stand alone. And I am not standing alone, but I'm willing to take the punches. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to defend our children, to defend our parents, to defend our taxpayers. Our taxpayers, their money's being wasted. And right now in the society, in our country with the inflation, everything. It's not fair to people. And I want to be able to give, make sure our parents have their rights and their responsibilities, that our kids are being educated, and that we can, our kids are will be able to compete in the world that we live in. But, you know, we also have to remember that it is so important that when we go to Jefferson City, I am not going because I have all the answers. I am going because I want to represent the majority values of Missouri, of my district, of the people who live in my district. And I'm willing to do that for them. And if they will have me, I appreciate their vote August 2nd for Rachel Aguirre.
All right, Rachel, the website is rachelformo.com. Is that right? If people want to go and learn more about you or support you in any way or volunteer for your campaign, 8th District, Eastern Jackson County, basically Missouri State Senate, rachelformo.com. Is that correct? And there's no E in Rachel, R-A-C-H-L, correct?
That's correct. Thank you.
We'll get everybody there. I love your spirit, and I think we're winning, Rachel. I really do. I think sometimes you have to lose to win. Politics is a weird thing. We have to actually, you know, these things that have bubbled under the surface in America have come to the forefront and we're seeing it. And I think America is going to fight back in a big way this November in many, many ways. I hope your victory is one of those ways. And I think that would be a good thing for the people of the 8th District of Missouri to have you in Jefferson City. And I just can't believe the number of great people who are professionals at whatever they do, whatever their craft is, professionals that have said, okay, that's great. I'm a special education teacher, but I have to do more. This isn't enough. I've got to do more. And you find that calling. We're getting so many people that aren't in politics running for office. That's what you're the teacher. I'm not, but it's my understanding. That's what this country was founded upon, was find people in your local community to represent you at the state house or in Washington, D.C. And it's not a career. You go do that and you keep doing whatever you're doing at home. And when you're done doing that and somebody else gets elected, it's not a career. And I love the fact that we have so many people that are not getting into politics for a career. I love that.
Yeah, I'm not doing it for the money. That's for sure. No. In fact, I don't even have my daughter just graduated. I pulled her out of the district last year for her senior year. I don't even have a child in the school in district anymore. But the reality is that we have to stand up for what is right, no matter what, even if it's not our own child, we have to stand up for them.
Well, that's so well said. Thank you so much for your time. We wish you the best of luck in your race. We will remind everybody as the summer continues that you're running, Rachel, and keep us informed as to what's going on at not just Lee Summit West with the Turning Point USA and the conservative kids there, but everything else that's going on. We just want kids to have and I know the school year is almost over. It's a really good, safe, wonderful environment for all these kids. We're happy that they're back in school. We just want every kid to feel comfortable and get educated and have a good experience. That ultimately is what any citizen would want for the young people and the children in their community.
That's correct.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Kevin, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Rachel's just incredible. That's a phenomenal woman right there who's been teaching for many years in Lee Summit. She's a special education teacher. And she's running in the 8th District for State Senate in Missouri. But you can hear, she sounds like the leader of conservatives in the Lee Summit School District. Like, she's got friends that ran for school board and made it. She's gone to the superintendent and said, I am not teaching CRT. I'm not doing it. It's not going to happen. And most of the teachers, as she said right there, 90% of, say, listen, I don't want any part of the politics. I don't want any part of any of this. I just want to do my job. And she has said, I think she said pretty plainly that's what she wanted to do, but she can't stand by as this happens. We love that. Rachel's segment today on KKHI is brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs, online at robertsrobinson.com, where you can shop, click, and drive with GMC. We are professional grade. It's truck month, Sierra's 0%, and $750 cash allowance. Go get it at robertsrobinson.com. Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. His team is available 24/7 for emergencies. They'll also do a free roof inspection. Great time of year to do that. So you can sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Finch Knife Company, now featuring the 1934 series of pocket knives. They're an homage to the Smoky Mountain National Park. Magical blue hazes created by vegetation, rainfall, and sunlight. Look at these beautiful, beautiful pocket knives. You will see them. One of America's great crown jewels is the Smoky Mountain National Park, and now there's a knife series to commemorate that. Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com, or available in Mission at the Bullet Hole, Overland Park at Shields, or Belton at Teague Tractor. Keep your life from getting dull with Finch Pocket Knives, online at finchknifeco.com. And my good buddy, Dr. Jeremy Fry, and Fry Orthodontics, with a dozen locations in Kansas City. Summer, and we're talking about kids, a lot of talk about education here. If you have a kid in school and they're 11, 12, 13, 14, it's time to get braces or think about braces or Invisalign. Summer is the best time. Run, don't walk, to Fry Orthodontics. Your first appointment is free. Just mention the podcast, and it's free. And they'll do a consultation and let you know what they think they can do for your child or your grandchild and fix that smile in the summer. The times are shorter now, so a lot of this beginning of the process, the perfect time is summer. When they're not around all the other kids at school, this is great. You can get a 3 or 4 month jump on this thing with Fry Orthodontics right now. Call 913-469-9191, online at fryorthodontics.com, where your smile is just the start. Folks, it is absolutely amazing how many people are stepping up and doing things, from parents who are accountants or firemen or stay-at-home moms that have just said, I'm running for school board or I'm running for office. I can't believe what's happening. This is unlike anything we've ever seen in our lifetime. We saw the Tea Party back in 2010. That was a reaction to Obama getting elected. It was very clear he was trying to split the country apart the second he got there. It was going to be very clear that if you didn't vote for him, you were racist. We get it. We heard it. We heard you loud and clear. That's when conservatives galvanized quietly. Yes, some Tea Party members went and marched and did whatever, but a lot of us saw the Tea Party and went, okay, this is a big deal. I'm not alone. It's like those Canadian truckers we saw this last winter. People sit at home and see that and go, okay, good, we're not alone. What we're seeing now after Trump, with the Trump effect, which I talk about a lot on this podcast, is him basically inspiring and encouraging people to say, silence no more. It's one thing to say, I see it, I'm not alone, I'm going to go vote. It's another to say, I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and get to work, because this is too serious now. It's critical mass. That's where we are. And after Biden got elected, and we're watching everything go wrong, like literally everything the guy touches turns to dust. Everything go wrong. People can't do this fast enough. People are signing up and lining up to help any way they can. From something as small as finding one other person to vote that doesn't normally vote, that you think has conservative principles about them and they love America. It's the first thing to look for. They have a flag in front of their house. Do they like the national anthem? Do they put their hand on their heart during the national anthem? How many liberals, other than the ones on TV, politicians or something like that, public figures, how many liberals do you think, if you went to your kid's baseball game at 3-2 this summer and they play the anthem before the game and your liberal friends look around how many people have their hand on their heart? It's not very many. It's maybe 1 in 5, you'll see. Most will take their hat off out of respect. If you see somebody with their hand on their heart, 90% that person's a conservative. Do you know somebody like that that doesn't usually vote, or they're disenchanted? They're like, I can't make a difference. I can't help. Those are the people to go reach. Find one person like that and get them to the polls each November. One person. That's it. Just one. Many of you email me and say, I found 5 or I found 10. Well, can you imagine how this will all end if that's the case? We're seeing numbers in primaries through the roof. I'm guessing Missouri is going to set a turnout record for Republican primary. I think this Senate primary is going to have more votes on the Republican Party in the primary than any Senate vote ever in Missouri history. It speaks to us crawling out of the shadows. We're not going to be quiet anymore. We're going to go do this. And yes, voting is enough. I can't make you or implore you to do more. I can ask you. I can tell you, I think that if you love shows like this, you probably already are doing something more than just voting. And that's great. And maybe that is running for school board. Maybe it's walking door to door for a candidate. Maybe it's putting a sign in your yard. Whatever you can do, help out. You know how we feel about that here at KKHI, and Rachel is one of those on the ground. We wish her the very best. I can't speak about the other candidate. I don't really know the other candidates, and I'm not really going to take sides in the primaries. That wasn't really the point of this. The point of this is an exclamation point to the type of people that we have known nothing about for years. Rachel's been there teaching special education her whole adult life, raising her children, whatever, and now She's got a baseball bat. She's walking tall. That's what she's doing. That's what she's doing. And I love it. And I love it when people do things just like that. Thanks for listening to KKHI. Have a fantastic day today. Appreciate you joining us. Hit that like or follow button if you can. And we'll catch you next time. Wherever you go today, just tell somebody that Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.